Amen. When we approach the word with hunger, oh, God can do great things when there's a hunger there to learn. Well, I'm really excited. We've been doing a series at the moment called Living Your Best Life, Even When No Everybody Doesn't Think Like You. And we've been talking about how we're called to live in community. We're called to live with others. But it can be tricky, you know? I don't know, maybe I'm the only person that's ever found it a little bit tricky to live with others and to be in community. But we come with differences. Not everybody thinks like you. You know, you can hear yourself saying, if only everybody thought like me, then the world would be perfect. Everything would be good. You know, if only everybody acted like I did, only if everyone approached this situation, there would be no problems. I know none of us actually think that, but it can be tricky because we're all different. And we've been learning to say, how can God's called us to live in community? Well, how can we do that? How can we live best with each other? How can we grow together? How can we live the best lives we can be? Because I'm telling you, the best life you can be is in community. God designed us to be in community, in particularly in a church, in community with other brothers and sisters in Christ, in community where Jesus is the center. That's where God called us to live, and that is your best life. But it can be tricky. So we've been learning about some different strategies to help us in that. I love who has loved our pastor's messages the past few weeks. We've had amazing teaching. Last week we threw it in the fire. That was such a powerful analogy as we were learning about offense. And the week before, Pastor Peter led us talking about the differences and how everybody's different and how we can approach that. And it was so powerful, both of them. So if you haven't heard them, go back and listen to them. They're online. Really incredible messages. And next week, actually, I'll quickly let you know that we're going to finish this series with a Q&A panel. So we're going to have a panel on stage. We're going to have our pastors a part of it. And we're going to welcome Mark Stockwell up to the panel as well. He's one of our board members. And if you didn't know, earlier this year, he preached an incredible message on 1 Corinthians 13, which has stuck with me. And if I can think of anybody who knows how to show the love of God and knows how to show forgiveness and kindness, I think of the Stockwell family. And I am so inspired by their ability to love and to forgive and to show kindness in situations. So we want that wisdom on the panel next week. So we're excited for him to join. And if you put the slide up with the questions, I'm going to give you permission to get your phones out for a minute. There's going to be a QR code on the screen, maybe. There'll be a QR code, and that's going to lead you to... Oh, there we go, a form, where we would love you to submit questions that you might have that you can answer. Everything's completely anonymous. So I'm saying get it out now because during the message, things might come up in your mind that you might think, oh, that would be something I'd love to hear an answer for. So you can quickly write it down now while it's in your mind, or you can do it during the week. Everything will be anonymous, and we're going to have a lot of fun and have a lot of wisdom come. Anything in this topic about how to live your best life, even when everyone doesn't think about you, would love to accept all questions. I might say to some of the people in the room who might be submitting questions with names or things, last week as we're throwing people in the fire, some of our funny members of the team were putting down names and showing them to put into fire. And we said, no, that's not the heart of what we're doing. No, we love it. We'd love to hear your questions. All right, we're going to get into it. So we learned a couple of weeks ago about how we're different and how, you know, we're different and people have differences. So I thought we'd play a really quick game together, but you don't have to move from your seats this game. You can stay right where you are and everyone can participate. This is a really quick version of this or that. This or that, but it's a hand on head or hand up version. So there's going to be a this or that. You're going to see one option, and you have to pick a side. Are you going to be hand on the head side or a hand raised side? This isn't to deliberate. This isn't to think. This is a quick fire instinct. This is what I think. I'm going to do it. You know, this is what side I'm standing on. All right, let's go. Sweet or savory? There we go. Oh, got a lot of sweet juice. Next one. We've got coffee or tea. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Coffee. We've got a few tea drinkers amongst the coffee. I'm not going to say coffee addicts, but you know the coffee lovers in the room. Excellent. Cats or dogs? Oh, we've got a few bit mixed, mostly dogs in the room. For those online, why don't you add your answers in the comments? Next one. Camping or resort? Two hands up for this one. Resort, all the way. Thank you, Jesus. All right, next one, summer or winter? Ooh, you know, it's a bit of a mix maybe, but yep, summer, good one. Next one, fiction or non-fiction? Ooh, that's a bit trickier. Some people don't know yet. I'm a fiction girl. All right, next one, country or the city? Ooh, that's tricky, but I think ultimately, ooh, we've got a few. It's funny seeing where there's some spouses and there's differences coming up in the answers. All right, next one. This is where we're getting a little bit more feeling involved in the answers. Share food or mine only? Josh, if you say share food, I'm going to cast that lion spirit out right now. Do you share food? Do you work solo or in a team? Oh, a bit of a tricky one there. Yeah, this is an up and down. Next one. Next one's coming. And only happy ending movies or realistic movies? Chris, I'm shocked. I thought you'd go for happy endings only. Go happy endings. Next month, this is getting a bit tricky. Wash dishes immediately or wait until the sink is full? Ring God. Oh, yep. There was a few. There's a bit of feeling in that. Jay's got two hands up for waiting until the dishes is full. So go. Next one. Early mornings or late nights? Up and down. Next one. Yeah, let's give it a go. It's late enough. It becomes an early morning. That's great. Making the bed is non-negotiable. Meh, just going to use it again anyway. And go, oh, there's a few. Yep. There's a whole lot of differences in that one. Next one. Got a few. You're given $100. Do you splurge on dinner or put it into savings? Yeah. Tricky, great. Oh, it's getting trickier. We've only got a couple more. We've got going to the bathroom. Do you take the phone or is there no phone? Oh, there's. It's funny, gender seems to come into that one a little bit more around here. Next one. Vacation should be spontaneous or planned? Planned. If yours is like this, let me plan it for you. I will gladly plan a vacation for you. There's the most fun in vacations in the planning. And hoarder or minimalist? Great. There's a bit of feeling in a couple down here as there's a difference with Graham and Judith. Graham. And I don't think there's many more. Go tidy or lived in? Messy. Tidy or lived in? Ooh, there's a bit of feeling in the room. Next one, on time or running late? Oh, there's a bit of feeling. And next one, play to win or let's just have fun? AKA competitive. Competitive, yeah. There's a few disagreements in the room as to everyone's answers. All right. And perfectionist or yeah, close enough? I think it depends what it is. Yeah, I'm an up down. One, is that the last one? I can't remember if there was any more. That was it. All right. There's a bit of fun. That shows that there's a lot of difference in the room. And I love here, Althea. Only happy endings for movies. I agree with you there, Althea. I love those joining online. So we're all different. And notice that sometimes we actually give what we want to be, not necessarily what we are. You know, maybe there was a bit of faith in some of the answers that we gave, you know, rather than what we genuinely are. Like, so for example, I love getting dishes away right away. Recently, I felt prompted to combat the spirit and excuse of I'll do it later. So, you know, I believe 30 seconds of effort right now can save 10 minutes of effort later on. So quickly putting the rubbish in the bin now means, you know, it could be an hour then of build-up of mess that you have to clean up. So I love getting things away right away. And anytime I feel that, if I hear myself say, I'll do it later, I think, nope, I'm resisting that spirit. I'm going to do it right now in Jesus' name. So this is great. So, you know, do the dishes away. And I can't remember which one it was. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Put the dishes away immediately. So I'm very, you know, I love that rule. Except for everything except my folding. So my husband is amazing because as soon as there is folding of his, it's away and in the cupboard within minutes. Mine is not within minutes. Sometimes it's an embarrassingly long time that my basket and then baskets of folding sit there and they compile in the room, and then it gets to a point of I've got nothing to wear, so I have to put all the folding away, and then it's a big effort, which was yesterday. Oh, I have to put all the folding away. Now there's baskets and baskets, and it takes me an hour, what could have been a 10-minute job. So in that one, it's like, yes, I like to do things straight away, but actually, in reality, I don't. I like to do the dishes straight away, but sometimes they build up in the sink. I like to do this. I like to be clean, but maybe, you know, not all the time. So there's differences. You know, maybe somebody next to you, you know, you saw somebody put up the hand to say, I love to be on time. The same person that made you 10 minutes late to church this morning was just saying, yes, I'm an on-time person. And you're like, you made me 10 minutes late this morning. Or somebody says, oh, I play to have fun. And you're like, my foot, you play to have fun. Have you ever played Monopoly with yourself? That is not fun. There is competitiveness there, you know. Or maybe they say, you know, I'm a minimalist. And you say, well, if we're such a minimalist, I can throw out all the hoarding of junk that we've got in cupboards. We've got some clapping down in the front row here. So there's differences, because not only are we different, but we have images of ourselves and we sort of project what we want to be over on ourselves and give ourselves a lot of grace to be, oh yes, I'm that person, but I've got a bit of grace, but you know, somebody else I don't have the same grace for, you know. No, you're just competitive. That's just straight competitive. I've got a healthy level of competitiveness that I bring to games, you know. There's differences. There might be some conversations happening on the way home about the answers that we saw today. But all these differences can create this thing called strife that we're going to talk about today. Strife. Like I said, we might have created a little bit of strife for car rides home today, but don't worry, we'll resolve it before you get in the car, so there will be no strife. Because we're different people. And that happens. We're different. We're different. We bring differences to situations, and that all those differences can create strife. So we want to talk about today how to resist strife. So strife, it's not really a word we use commonly now in the English language. It's not something I would hear a lot. But growing up, this is a phrase my family would use a lot because my parents actively worked against having strife in the home. This is a word we used up using all the time to say we resist strife. We refuse strife in our home. But honestly, I don't think I'd thought about this word in maybe 15, 20 years because it's not something commonly talked about. And then I want to let you know that not that long ago, I was here at church. Like I said, I hadn't thought about this word in such a long time. But here I was at church praising God, you know, worshiping. And there was a particular situation that I was believing for, and I was sort of pressing in for that. And we were in a time of pressing in, and I was pressing in and worshiping for this situation that we're believing for. And I felt so clearly the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he said, protect the atmosphere. Refuse a spirit of strife. Protect the atmosphere, refuse a spirit of strife. And here I was like, God, do you know what I'm praying for? It's nothing to do with strife. Can we just get back on track here? You know, here I am believing for this, and you're talking to me about protecting the atmosphere and the spirit of strife. And I felt so strongly, again, protect the atmosphere, refuse a spirit of strife. And you know, that's the amazing thing about God in the spiritual realm, that if you read the Bible, you'll see that there are so many accounts in the Bible where things in the natural realm don't match what's happening in the spiritual realm. It doesn't seem to match what's happening in the spiritual realm. So things in the natural realm that seem totally unrelated, in the spiritual realm, it looks completely different. So something over here that seems totally unrelated, so maybe I'm pressing in for a financial need, and the Lord says, resist the spirit of strife. And I'm like, God, forget about that. We just, you know, I'm praying for this financial need. And he's saying, no, resist the spirit of strife. Because when you can see underneath the natural realm, in the spiritual realm, everything is connected. There are things connected that you think have no relation to each other. So, you know, you're believing for this, but God's saying, actually, the answer is in a spiritual thing over here. There's a spiritual thing in your heart that we need to fix here in order for you to see this breakthrough. Everything's connected. How many times in the Bible, if you've read through the Bible, there are so many times where they're going out to battle and the Lord says, don't go out to fight, go out and praise. You know, in the natural, that makes no sense. Music and fighting have zero correlation in the natural realm. But we know that in the spiritual realm, it has all of the connection Because as they're praising and doing things, there are things happening in the spiritual realm which are fighting the battle over here for them. So here I am praying for something, and the Lord says, protect the atmosphere, refuse a spirit of strife. So I said, amen, Lord. So I wrote it down, and then I started thinking about it. I thought, I haven't even thought about that word in so many years. What does, you know, what is strife? And I started researching, and oh my goodness, there is so much depth to this concept. There is so, you could spend weeks alone talking about refusing the spirit of strife, because when you get into it, there is so much teaching in the Bible on this. You know, so what is strife? A couple of dictionary definitions of the word. Some things that come up when with the word strife in the dictionary. Bitter, a conflict, sometimes violent, angry, bitter disagreement, discord, quarreling, antagonistic, bickering, arguing, and I like, well, I don't like this one, but it's a powerful one, an angry undercurrent. Some definitions of strife. In the Bible, James 3:16 says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I'm going to read that again. James 3:16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You know, other translations use the words like jealousy and selfish ambition. So there's, like I said, I've been reading about strife, and there's some amazing teaching. A lot of the teaching that I found, it's not something commonly talked about. Joyce Meyer has some incredible teaching on strife. A lot of my notes today come from things that I've learned from her. Kenneth Copeland and his ministries have some amazing teachings on this. A lot of what I'm saying comes from that. So I encourage you, if you, after this, go look at some of these teachings online. Maybe we can share it on our socials, because there are some incredible teaching, which I'm going to incorporate in today, on this strife. You know, strife says... Kenneth Copeland said about that verse in James, strife, it says that strife leads to confusion and every evil work. That means strife is nothing to play around with. Yeah. It's a serious sin. It says strife leads to every evil work. That's not something to be light about. That's not something to make light of. It's saying this is a serious spirit that we need to resist, because allowing it in leads to confusion, leads to every evil work. You know, the Bible talks about how evil actions don't start as actions. They come as things in the heart. Strife, envy. Envy leads to jealousy, leads to hatred, leads to argument, leads to anger, to division, to harsh words, to complaining, confusion, and every evil work. Envy often leads to jealousy, which can lead to retaliation. Kenneth Copeland said, when there is strife and a lack of peace, you know the human will is in charge. And he also said, strife is the killer of dreams. So strife is this spirit of anger, bitterness, jealousy. You know, Joyce Meyer said she thinks the most dangerous form of strife is an angry undercurrent, because it's not as easy to recognize. It's something you can feel in the atmosphere. You know something's not quite right, but no one wants to address it. Maybe nothing is specifically said, but it's quite clear that everything is not okay. A spirit of tension in the atmosphere, a spirit of strife. Ephesians 4:29 to 32, I think we've got it up here. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So church, this spirit of strife, God doesn't want us to be in it. He doesn't want us to be in anger. He doesn't want us to be in bitterness. But like we said, when we live with differences, strife so easily can come about, because we're different people. And it's not always the big things. It can be the small things, like leaving dishes in the sink. It can be the small things in life that create spirits of strife. So we want to talk today how to live our best life, being in community with people. We want to resist the spirit of strife. So we're going to look at some ways, what causes strife and how we can, the most important thing, fight against it. When I'm saying this, I'm saying for any relationship in your life. It might be your family. It might be a partner. It might be in your workplace. It might be in your team. You know, it might be in your friendship circles. Wherever we are, there are differences, And we want to resist that spirit of strife coming in so that we can be free to do all that God has called us to do and be. So what are some things that cause strife? Insecurity, pride, greed, envy, worldliness, judging, not trusting God. I'm going to read a scripture out in James 4. You can turn with me if you've got your Bibles. Turn with me to James 4. And we're going to see as we read this scripture, some of those words start to come out in this scripture about things that can be the heart behind strife getting in, disagreements getting in. James 4 verse 1. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? So already, things of the heart, matters of the heart, heart issues, evil desires causing quarrels and fights. You want what you don't have. We would never want what we don't have. Never. So you scheme and kill to get it. That's elevated it a little bit. That has elevated it. So maybe you say, well, I haven't killed to get anything. But have you had envy in your heart? Have you had jealousy in your heart? It says you are jealous of what others have. No, never. But you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So just going back over that. I love that it's actually saying it's not even just envy and jealousy. It's not because you're wanting something that's the issue. God's not saying, oh, you should never want that. He's saying you're looking for it in all the wrong places. You're looking at somebody else and you're getting jealous over that instead of actually just coming to your heavenly Father with the right heart. And then he says when you do come to God, you're coming with the wrong heart and the wrong heart to ask. So it's not trusting God. Not trusting God in a situation when saying, God, where are you taking me to? I'm going to come and trust you to provide everything. It's looking at others and saying, well, where'd they get that? Where'd they get over there? You know, how come they took that path? Well, God, if you're going to give it to them, are you going to give it to me? You know, can you come to God with a heart of, you know, full of jealousy and envy? It's like, well, I've been patient. If you've given it to them, I assume mine's around the corner. Because we've all seen my track record of how good I've been. You know, we can come to God with the wrong heart, and God's saying that leads to quarrels and bickering. So it's not asking. He said, come to God with trust in Him. Yeah. To come to Him to follow your path and to trust Him. You know, verse 4, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. So allowing spirits and things of the world to come in and feed into you can lead to strife. Do you think the scripture have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously. As the scripture said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride, insecurity, huge factors that can lead into strife. So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom. But it says, humble themselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourself before the Lord. But looking at that scripture, he says, what calls quarrelsome? What calls the strife amongst you? All of these things, judging others, worldliness, not trusting God, is things in the heart. Things that are harder to address. Things that can come up and creep up so quickly and easily. You know, Joyce Meyer says, she talks about how Proverbs 28:25 says, a greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. She said, now if you truly trust God, I can tell you there's no need for you to ever be jealous of anybody. I'm going to read that again because that is so good. Now, if you truly trust God, I can tell you there's no need for you to ever be jealous of anybody. If you believe God loves you and has a plan for your life, and if you believe that his timing is always right, there is no need to envy a single person. People who are greedy, who are never satisfied with what they have, they can stir up strife. You know, she said, if I only had blank, I'd be happy. You know, have you ever found yourself saying that? If only this, it's a dissatisfaction, not finding your trust in God alone, but saying, oh, it's after that, then it's going to be okay. When I get that, then everything will be okay. You know, by finding contentness in God, when people are dissatisfied and discontent, that can stir up strife, can stir up trouble, because ultimately we need to find our trust in God alone and saying, I love that it's saying, when we trust God, there's no need for discontentment. There's no need for envy or jealousy. There's no need for fear of a future because we know that our trust is wholeheartedly in a God who will provide, in a God who is a way for us, in a God who has a plan for us. So these are all the things that can, these are some of the things that can stir up strife. So like God said to me, he said, resist the spirit of strife, protect the atmosphere. And I feel like sometimes when I come to preach messages, I'm like, God, I can't preach that because you're still working in my heart about it. But then I felt felt encouraged to say, well, if he's working on my heart, maybe there are others. Maybe there are others he's working on as well. So I'm not saying here I am, I'm perfect. Woo, I've got no strife in my life. Is that right to my husband? I bring no strife anywhere I go because I am fixed now. No, we are together on a journey where we're saying, Lord, work in us. Help us grow together. And I'm excited to be on this journey together. All different people coming together on this journey to say, we want to work in a way full of unity, even when it's hard. So some weapons against strife. What I'm going to do is I've got some weapons that I'm going to, not literal weapons I'm going to bring out, some weapons that are going to come on the screen about things that we can do to resist strife. Now we're going to do this quick fire. So you might want to get your notepads out. You want to be writing down some scripture references, because we're just going to list out some weapons against to help us resist the spirit of strife. Who wants to resist the spirit of strife in your life? Amen. You know what? And there are so many. We could have a list that goes on and on and on because there are so many things we can do. But here are six things that the Lord put in my heart. Some of them, again, have come from the teaching. Some of them he's just brought to my heart. But before we do that, I just want to clarify. You know, like Joyce Meyer said, she said, having peace with others doesn't mean we won't ever disagree, but we must do it respectfully and avoid strife. So I just want to say right now, when I'm saying avoid strife, I am not saying you should just take abuse and call it love. I'm not saying you can't ever talk through hurts or confusions or frustrations. In fact, I think that's very healthy when it's done in the right way. I'm not saying you can't ever disagree with somebody, because like we just saw before, disagreements will come whether we want them to or not, because we're different. I'm saying, how can we approach these disagreements or different points of view without the spirit of strife getting in? Because the spirit of strife getting in leads to every evil work. But doing it in a way of unity and love means we're living our best life. So approaching differences and things where we have to talk through things, we can do it without the spirit of strife getting in. Then we can do it in a healthy way that's propelling us into all that God has, as opposed to over here, where just because a disagreement comes up, suddenly their spirit of strife gets in and it's only going the opposite way that we want to go, only going against God. So here are, because like I said, doing it in strife is never right, and doing it in jealousy is never right. So that's what we're resisting today. So how can we resist strife? We're going to go through. Number one, consider who you spend time with. In the research, they said, what kind of character do your friends have? Think about the people you eat lunch with at work or those who you consider your closest friends. Do they gossip? Are their attitudes generally negative or positive? Don't look around to others in the room right now. are they generally negative or positive? Are they gossiping? I want to tell a story. There was once time when I was at a workplace, not my one now, I was at a workplace before now. And I was there and I was having lunch with some friends. And as we started having lunch, it was with some other females who also happened to be married. And they started talking about their husbands, complaining about their husbands, I should say, gossiping about their husbands. Oh, you know, if only they would do this, if only do I have to do everything in my life? Do I have to do everything in my home? You know, talking about their husbands, not in a way that was edifying to anybody other than making themselves feel good and look good in a situation. So I sat there and I thought, I'm going to resist this gossip and I'm going to not say a word. They're going to just let loose and I'm just not going to say a word. You know, quick thing that I love to say that, you know, a few years ago, we heard this and we said, yeah, this is a great concept to bring in. The fact that no matter where we are, my husband and I have said, no matter where we are, we're married. So if I'm having a conversation and Cam's not standing next to me, my conversation, I'm imagining Cam standing next to me. I never have a conversation that I would be ashamed if he was standing next to me. That doesn't mean I can never talk through things or work through things, but it's always done in a heart that I'd never be ashamed. So I want to encourage you, if you're talking to people, just a quick thing, parents, how are you talking about your kids? If they're not, do you imagine them standing next to you or do you not? How do you talk about your friends, grow team? How do you talk about each other? Are we talking about them in ways that we say, you know, if you were standing next to me, I'm not just sometimes in a grow team, I'm always in a grow team. So when I'm, even if you're there or not, you're always here. You know, I'm always in this family, so whether you're here or not, I'm representing how I speak. So that's just a quick thing. So here I was, they're talking, and I was like, I'm not saying a word. So my brother just said on the screen, that's because I had nothing bad to say about my husband. Is that right? Absolutely. I was trying to think of something. I thought, there is nothing I can bring to this conversation because he is perfect. My husband said he paid him to say that. So here I am, they're talking, and I'm not saying a word. Then I walk away. We finish our lunch, walk away, and frankly, I was quite proud of myself. I was quite proud. Whew. I was the bigger person in that situation. They must feel rotten. And here I am feeling pretty good about myself. And anyway, I go home, and the strangest thing happened that night. It was a really awful night. There was agitation in the air when I got home. There was agitation. There was strife in the air. There was we were nitpicking. We were testy. You know, you might say, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never felt that before. But, you know, there was testiness in the environment. And I didn't understand. And I said, God, what's going on? I didn't gossip and participate. Why have we got this spirit in our home right now? I said, I didn't say anything. But so clearly I felt God saying to me, yes, but you sat there, didn't you? Yes, but you sat there, didn't you? And I'm like, yes, God, I did. You know, you surrounded yourself with an atmosphere of gossip and strife and pride, and you didn't move. You thought you were above it. You thought, I'm stronger than this. And you sat there letting that spirit infiltrate you. So even though I didn't participate, I sat there amongst it. And then I was reaping the harvest of that when I came home because there was a spirit of agitation. There was a spirit of strife that I had brought into our home. So I said, Lord, I am sorry. And you know what? I never did that enough. As far as I know, I've never done that again. I didn't write them off as friends. They were beautiful, you know, wonderful people, gone their own journeys of God. But what I did learn is next time the gossip started, I'll just quietly remove myself. Because I said, no, I'm not going to surround myself with that spirit. I know you can't always do that if you're in a situation where you can't and you can do things to resist it. But if you can, watch what spirit you're allowing into your heart. You know, Joyce Meyer said, make sure you are affecting the people you spend time instead of letting them infect you. Be careful. Be careful what you're allowing in. Proverbs 13:20 says, spend time with the wise and you'll become wise, but the friends of fools will suffer. Be careful what atmosphere you're surrounding yourself with. All right, number two, reset the situation. This is just a practical tip. Reset the situation. I heard some great advice a few years ago. We were at a conference and somebody gave this advice. I don't even know their name or who they are, but I was like, I want to thank them because this advice has shaped me. They said, when you're arguing with somebody, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a sibling, whether it's, you know, somebody in your team, they said, reset the situation and remember, you are not against each other. You are for each other and together you are against a problem. That has changed my thinking when it comes to disagreements. The amount of times we've reset a situation. I'm going to repeat that again. We are not against each other. We are for each other. And together, we are against the problem. Immediately, that changes the rules and the boundaries of where you're at. Because you can feel yourself when strife's getting in, and you're feeling, and it's me versus you, and whoo, things can start to fly, and you can start to feel defense coming up. And, oh, if we're going to bring that up, then I think everything's on the table, and I'm going to bring this up as well, you know. And you can feel it, can't you? Then you can feel it rising, and it's like me versus you. But immediately reset it, and we've done this many times, you know, as a couple. I'd love to do this, you know, in our teams. you know, now in whatever relationships you have, when we sort of say, hang on, we're going to say out loud right now, we are not against each other. We are for each other, and together we are facing this problem. We are facing this problem. So whatever we've just been disagreeing about, we're going to put it over here against us. That's the problem. And together, we're on the same team. How can we work against this problem? So reset the situation. If you're in a team and suddenly it's like, "Ooh, it's my idea versus them," just say out loud, hang on. Hey, guys, we're all on the same team. We're not pointing fingers. It's not you did this, I did this. No, we're all on the same team. And together, we're against this computer malfunction. It's not because you did this or I did this. No, together, we're against this problem. And how can we face this together? Everything changes. There's a unity that comes in. There's a peace that comes in. All right, number three, to resist the spirit of strife. Above all, love. Yes. Above all, love. Jesus said the greatest commandment when in Matthew 22, when they said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is love your neighbor as yourself." Love. Like I said earlier, Mark gave an amazing sermon. I think it was one of the first Sundays in the year on 1 Corinthians 13. And that has stayed with me. And I've gone back and I've put 1 Corinthians 13 on audio Bible so many mornings. And I've just started my morning by listening to 1 Corinthians 13. Fill my heart. You know, you can personalize it. 1 Corinthians 13. It's not, if you haven't read it, it's known as the love, you know, the love chapter. I'll read out some of it now. You know, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And it goes on, it says, love is patient and kind. You can say, I am patient and kind. I am not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. You can put yourself into it by faith. Declare it out over yourself. Love, above all, love. Approach situations with love. When you notice a spirit of strife coming in, resist it and say, I am a child of God and I walk only in love. I only approach situations in love. Imagine if we spent as much time growing in love as we did in growing in natural skills. You know, much time that you spend in your uni degree, imagine if you spent that much time discovering about love, the love of God, and letting it infiltrate your heart. Because love is not just an emotion. It's not just a good thing to do. It is a powerful spiritual weapon. When the love of God, not just a feeling of love, when the love of God is in your heart, it actually transforms and changes things. When you approach a situation with the love of God, you are breathing His life into it. You are bringing a power of God that can actually bring change and restoration. When there's a relational issue, maybe you've got someone in your life and it's just, there is so much going on, but you say, when I come with the love of God, I'm actually releasing His power to be at work, to do what only He can do, to restore, to forgive, to love, to do things that only He can do. So above all, love. Number four, I'm going to say a spirit for a spirit. Combat the spirit of strife with a spirit of forgiveness. Choose to forgive. Again, it's not just a nice emotion. It is a power of God. Like Mark said earlier in the year when he said, constantly walk in a state of forgiveness. Go out to the day ready to forgive. Because you know, I know, at the start of every day, somebody's going to offend me today. Somebody's going to hurt me today. Somebody's going to do something wrong. I'm going to do something wrong today. But I'm going to come ready to forgive. Ready with forgiveness in my heart. You know, Colossians 3:12 says, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Can I encourage you, church, as well, something as well that the Spirit prompted me to do a number of months ago. When you've been in a disagreement or you've had strife, whether it's with a friend, a relative, neighbor, whoever it might be, actually complete the circle of that disagreement by asking for forgiveness. It's not something that's natural in our world to do, but close the cycle with forgiveness. Because forgiveness releases God's power into it. Forgiveness cleanses it. Forgiveness releases his love and restoration into it. You know, we've started doing that, you know, as a couple, that when, you know, again, just every now and then you have a little slight disagreement and you might say something, and at the end of it, we actually have said, I want to, right now, I've said sorry for this, and I want to say, will you forgive me for A, B, and C? And then out of the other one's mouth, they say, I forgive you. Will you forgive me for A, B, C? And I'll say, I forgive you. That seems so dramatic. It's like, oh my gosh, that's so dramatic. Will you forgive me? But actually, it's just the power of God. Yes, actually saying out of your mouth, I forgive you. And that means when it comes up again, you say, no, it was forgiven. Yeah. Out of my mouth, we said, I forgave you. And it's in the past. I love it. I'm going to encourage you. Start to say, you know, but use discretion. If someone hasn't asked for forgiveness, leading with, I forgive you, might not help the spirit of strife leave necessarily. It might need to work in your heart and release it to God and let God work in their heart. They might, as Pastor Christine said last week, they might never come and ask for forgiveness. But you can say in your own heart, Lord, I just want to release that and I want to forgive that. And I want you to work. You can work. You restore. You work. Even if they never think what they've done is wrong, it doesn't matter, because I'm releasing my, you know, forgiveness now. But if you can together, you know, why don't you lead? You say next time, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? I'm leading by showing humility and saying I'm asking for the forgiveness of God to come into this situation. Only two more. Number five and number six are what I'm doing together. The last 2 points. To resist the spirit of strife, take control of the atmosphere. And number six is with praise and thankfulness. Take control of the atmosphere and release praise and thankfulness. You know, those are, I shared this with our team a few weeks ago, but taking control, reset the atmosphere. When there's a spirit of strife in the air, my parents used to do this all the time as kids. They would say, hey, there's something in the atmosphere. We're taking control of this. We're putting praise and worship on. We're bringing God into this atmosphere. We're taking control over what's trying to go on here. Take control of the atmosphere and with praise and thankfulness. You know, a few weeks ago, we were at home and, you know, at home at night, and something had happened. I'd seen something on TV that just triggered a really negative emotion in me. It triggered up some past hurts and some past feelings, and I was really struggling. I was feeling really low. It had triggered this feeling, and I, you know, and it was a situation where I hadn't, you know, I wasn't necessarily hadn't done anything wrong, and it was just bringing all these past hurts back into my life, and I was sitting there feeling really low and sorry for myself. Has anyone felt low and sorry for yourself at a time? And here I was, and I thought, you know what I deserve? You know, modern tech, you know, modern generation, I deserve some phone time. I deserve to lose myself in social media and reels and funny videos because I have been hurt and I deserve this time. So there I was sitting there, you know, just scrolling through mindless funny videos, social media, and feeling lower. And it's amazing. Social media doesn't always have the best effect. It's shocking. So it can, though. Our comms team proved that social media can be used for God's glory. Thank you, Jesus. You can be feeling low and scroll onto a scripture and go, whoa, that was what I needed. So it is good. And this time I wasn't looking for the Christian scriptures. I was passing them to go to the funny videos that was just senseless junk was what I was searching for. I was not looking for edifying things like our church's social media gives. So here I am scrolling, feeling lower and lower, and the atmosphere in our home had shifted. And my amazing husband said, you know, I'm just going to put on some praise and worship. Why don't we just put on some praise and worship, you know, together? And we do that together. When we feel it, one of us will be like, hey, let's just put on some praise and worship. So he put on some praise and worship. And, you know, I didn't say anything out loud, but internally I said, I do not want to praise. I do not want to praise right now. This is my time, my phone time, my reward time for how low I'm feeling. So here I am, you know, going like this, scrolling. And I found this incredible song was on, and I was resisting it. I was resisting the praise. As I'm scrolling, I felt so strongly the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, put your phone down and listen to this song. And I said, like a good pastor's child, I said, no. And I kept watching, and I said, maybe at the end of this funny video. And I kept watching, and mid-video, I felt again, put the phone down and listen to this song. And I knew the conviction of God was in me. And I said, I knew what he was asking me to do. So I stopped the video. I put my phone down. And I said, okay. And I just, and I let the words, and it was a new Elevation song that had been released on Faithfulness. And oh, something broke in the spirit. It broke. That spirit of bondage and heaviness and strife that I was feeling, it broke as the praise of God filtered. And it started filtering my heart. And then I started praising God. And it was like a supernatural lightness and freedom as I started praising God. And we were taking control. And then Cam and I together, we were just praising God. And the atmosphere was changed as we were filling it with praises of God. We were taking control of the atmosphere. You know, then they started this video. They started singing some old hymns. They started singing songs like, "This is the day the Lord has made." And we were like, what a proclamation. And we're declaring out, "This is the day the Lord has made. We are taking it. We are taking control of this day. We are claiming this day in the name of Jesus, because this is the day you have made, and we will rejoice." And we were proclaiming the things of the song and words straight from Scripture. We were proclaiming it out. And praise started filling our heart and filling our home. And it was a lightness and a freedom in the air, because the spirit of praise combats the spirit of strife. So church, if you feel a spirit of strife, team, why don't you start coming on stage? If you're feeling a spirit of strife in your home, in your workplace, you know, and you have to use sensitivity for where you are. But you're all smart people. You can find a way to bring the spirit of praise no matter where you are. You can be in a meeting and internally start letting the praise of God come up in your heart without needing to say, do anything different externally. You can be at work and just start letting praise rise up in your heart and inside. You can be at home where you've got the freedom to say, I'm taking control of this atmosphere and I'm putting on praise right now. And even though I don't feel it, by faith, I'm speaking this out. You can be in the car and you can be feeling lousy and you're saying, right now I'm taking control of this atmosphere and I'm putting on praise and I'm letting thankfulness come out of my heart. I'm letting praises to God come out of my heart. And we are not letting this spirit stay, because the spirit of strife cannot stay where there's a spirit of praise and thankfulness. You know, Kenneth Copeland said, I couldn't criticize the people around me when I had a thankful attitude about them. He said, suddenly when I started having a thankful attitude about them, I couldn't bring myself to criticize them, because there was thankfulness coming up out of my heart for them, because I was letting the thankfulness and praise of God come up in my heart. When you're wanting to say one thing, but you're saying, I'm going to choose only to let praise come out of my heart. Praise stops the devil. When we are praising, his angels are at work in the spiritual atmosphere, in the spiritual realm. We are praise, taking control of the atmosphere and bringing praise and thankfulness stops the spirit of strife. You know, church, and I want to finish with this, that this isn't just for us in, you know, our lives, wherever you are, in your workplaces, in your teams, you know, in your homes, in your family, in your relationships. I encourage you, on purpose, resist the spirit of strife wherever you are. Parents, like my parents did, tell your kids, we're resisting the spirit of strife. If kids start arguing, say, hey, we're not allowing the spirit of strife in. Let's teach them. Teach them about the spirit of strife, but how to combat it. Wherever you are, say, we're doing this in our homes. But I want to encourage us, church, it's not just about that. I believe it's a spiritual attack. The enemy knows if he brings a spirit of strife in, it only ends in confusion and every evil work. He knows the way into a church is through a spirit of strife. There is nothing in our church that I'm speaking to right now. I'm just saying in general, the church. He knows the way to stop God's kingdom advancing through people is to bring in a spirit of strife, because that only leads to confusion, arguments, discord, evil things. The enemy knows that this spirit not only can impact homes and families and friendships and workplaces, but the spirit of strife can stop us from doing all that God's called us to do, can stop us from freely walking into all that God's got for us. You know, like our pastor said a couple of weeks ago, he said, we're all different because God is too big to pour into one person. One person can't possibly show every aspect of God's nature. One church can't possibly show every aspect of God's nature. So that's why churches have different emphasis. Churches have different things that they're strong in, because God's nature is so magnificent. He's pouring it out through different channels. So when you think of everyone here, everyone online, you can look around and you think, and you're saying, I'm bringing one aspect of God to a situation and you're bringing another. You're bringing one aspect of God that I'm not bringing. You're bringing something to this situation, into, you know, something of God you're bringing that I'm not bringing to this. So we want to resist the spirit of strife ever getting in, because we need to all together bring all those aspects of God to a situation so we can take and take the enemy's camp and bring God's kingdom to this region. Because together, when we bring all the aspects of God, so all of our differences and anointings together, imagine the land we can take. Imagine the difference we can take. Imagine the souls we can reach when all of us are bringing different aspects of God to a situation. Imagine the work that can happen. But it's that little spirit of strife that can get in and bring disarray and confusion. And suddenly, instead of walking after this way, we're fine, we're walking down here. So we want to resist the spirit of strife in your team, in your life group, in our church. Because we say, oh, we see, this isn't something to play around with. We resist it. If we smell it, we get it out. Because we know the danger that can have, and that has no place in this church. That has no place. Because together we need all of us bringing our different gifts. We need all of us bringing our different aspects of God so we can do all that He's called us to do. You look around, He's called all of you here for different times because you each bring something. You each bring something that can help breakthrough. Walk and take and bring Jesus. Church, why don't you stand with us? We're going to finish. We want to resist the spirit of strife. We want to take control of the atmosphere in our families, in our homes, in our teams, in our friendships, and in our churches, because we don't want the enemy stopping. We don't want the enemy stopping us from fulfilling all that we're called to do together. We are called to do it together. Don't ever let the enemy convince you that you can do it just by yourself in terms of what we're talking about here. Don't ever let the enemy make you think, oh, actually, you'd be better off if just you were doing this. Just you doing this would be better, because no, the Bible says we're all called to come together. We're all called to come together and to do this together, to disciple together, to lift each other up. That's what our life groups are for. We're discipling each other. We're lifting each other up. When one of us is struggling, we help them up. When we're strong together. We work together. We praise together. We're called to do it together. So we're going to resist any attempt of the enemy to cut across that. You know, and even things like this, a lot of this is heart stuff. And you don't see immediate results always. But I want to tell you that choosing these heart actions now is setting you up for great things in the future. It's setting you up for great things in the future. One little resisting of something, strife now, is actually setting you up for a bigger thing later on. So when strife comes in, the bigger thing, you go like, no, I already know how to resist this. It's putting you on a path. It's setting you up. Like I said at the very start, things are related that we see no immediate relation to, because it's all in the spiritual realm. And there's a little decision here that's impacting way down in your future that you have no idea about. It's showing the Lord your heart. It's showing the Lord that you're trusting Him, that you're not allowing jealousy in, because you fully trust Him in every part. It's showing the Lord that you're not going to let envy or discord come in, because you wholeheartedly trust Him with your plan and your journey. And you say, that's great, you've got that. That's so good. Praise the Lord. God, I'm trusting you with my journey and my timing. I don't understand. I don't understand why sometimes it all happens like this, but I don't need to understand. I'm not called to understand. I'm not God. I don't know why something happens here and not here. I don't know, but I'm not called to know. I'm called to trust in the one who does know. I'm called to trust in God. And as long as I'm trusting Him in my journey, it doesn't matter about all these things. I can walk in love and forgive because He's forgiven me. And I can just trust in Him and He's gone my journey. So I'm going to pray and then I'll release you. But I want to encourage us. We're going to resist the spirit of strife. Resist the spirit of strife. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your encouragement to us to resist the spirit of strife. Lord, in the name of Jesus, by faith, we say the spirit of strife cannot live in our homes. The spirit of strife cannot live in our relationships. It cannot live in our friendships. It cannot live in our teams. Lord, in our life groups, in our siblings, in whatever communities we are in, the spirit of strife cannot live because we bring the spirit of forgiveness. We bring your spirit of love. We bring your spirit of praise. We trust you. Lord, I thank you, God, we resist the spirit of strife. We resist strife in the name of Jesus. Lord, we do. We, as we said here, Lord, for the times that we have let strife in, we ask your forgiveness. We say, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for those times we have let strife in. Oh, we ask your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness, that we can walk clean and free. Thank you, Lord, that we have good relationships with the people that you've put in our lives, that every difference we see is a blessing, that even when there are disagreements, we can approach talking through those, Lord, without a spirit of strife and agitation getting in, without a spirit of an angry undercurrent getting in. We can approach these differences and disagreements with your love, your wisdom, and your peace to show us a pathway through. Lord, we can reset the atmosphere and we say we're not against each other, we're for each other, and we're against the problem, and together we can walk and do everything that you've called us to do. So Lord, I bless your people for all those connecting this morning. I bless them, Lord, into a strife-free day, strife-free week. Lord, show us. Holy Spirit, prompt us when it's trying to come up and help us resist it. In Jesus' name, amen.